Maybe I'm not thinking fast enough this morning. What are you two trying to say?
Just this, Oliver. We're going to get married.
You're going to what?
I guess you didn't read that line right, Norman.
All right, I'll try it again. We're going to get married, Oliver.
Both of us.
Yes, to each other. What do you think of that?
When, where?
We're going to elope in the conventional manner.
What's the matter, Mr. Niles?
He's trying to decide whether it's good for the studio.
Is it, Mr. Niles?
It is, and bless you, my children. When's it going to happen?
Well, we thought we'd just sort of sneak out sometime.
Oh, sure, but you mustn't hurt people's feelings. Matt Libby, for instance. He has a very sensitive nature. He'd feel offended if he didn't have a chance to congratulate you. Miss Horton, send Libby in here.
I've been trying to keep him out.
Hello, Niles. Listen to this. The screen's ideal romance blossomed into breathtaking reality today when Vicki Lester and Norman Maine, America's dream lovers, slipped through the portals of holy matrimony. How does that sound?
Horrible.
Oh, you see, Mr. Libby, we're going to elope quietly.
Sure you are. Sure. It'll be the biggest elopement this town ever saw. We'll get a tie-up with the Army and have an escort of 20 bombing planes all the way to Yuma. Make personal appearances in Denver, Salt Lake, Seattle, Vancouver. Let's make this thing international.
Norman, is he going with us?
I doubt it.
Look, Niles, don't you think we can work this thing out better alone? No use bothering the happy couple with all these details.
I'm sorry. We didn't realize we were in the way. While you're settling the details, you don't mind if I go out and buy this lady a ring, do you?
Sure, go ahead. We want everything legal.
Come on, honey. See you later, Oliver.
Yeah, now, there's a charming match for you. Nice girl like Vicky and public nuisance number one.
Norma's all right, Libby. If you pardon my pointing, Vicky's business is her own. Doesn't require any comments.
I didn't comment. I just said it's a dirty shame.
Just go ahead and plan the elopement. That's all that's required.
Hey, what's the matter? You sore or something about this elopement?
No, I'm not sore. Go on, Libby. Beat it. I'm busy.
And here's the Hollywood question mark for this week, folks. What famous star, since his marriage to another famous star, has turned over a brand new leaf and is now taking a non-alcoholic honeymoon? But why do his friends think his bride came about six pictures too late as far as the public is concerned? Because the star's last six pictures have been what is politely known as turkeys, box office flopolas. Yes, sir, folks, it was a gay career and a short one.
Norman, I just can't believe it yet. Would you mind telling me again very slowly?
That is your new house. This is your new grass. Those are your new trees. And here's your new husband. Well, do you like the place?
Oh, it's the most wonderful surprise anybody ever had. I kept thinking we were going to live at the beach house, and then this...
Oh, well, we keep the house at the beach, but this is special. This is our castle. Where we'll never use ugly words like contracts and pictures and careers. When we come in these gates, we'll check the studio outside.
Oh, Norman.
Hey, hold that boat.
Oh, for the love of...
That's it. Did you get that shot, Otto?
Got it.
Good. Caption, their honeymoon never ends. How are you, folks?
Well, Libby, this is a surprise and a very unpleasant one.
I just dropped over to welcome you home. How are you, Mrs. Maine?
Fine, thanks. Hello, Otto.
Hello, Miss Lester.
Well, my friends, this is a nice little place you have here. Very tasty.
Libby, if you didn't like it, we'd sell it.
All right, now let's get some more pictures. Now, if the bride will just sit here and the groom stand behind her, we'll have something unique. Swell. All right, Otto. Caption, their honeymoon still continues.
Hello there.
Ah, the producer. Their honeymoon ceases abruptly. Hello, Oliver.
Hello, Norman. Glad you're back. How are you, Esther?
Hello, Oliver.
Are you interrupting?
Yes, but Libby beat you to it.
Oh, we just want a couple more.
Now, that's enough of both of them, Otto. What the papers are asking for is exclusives of Miss Lester alone.
Oh, I see. Come on, Oliver. Let's you and I get exclusive.
Sure.
Stay for dinner, Oliver.
Thanks, I will.
All right now, Miss Lester. Let's have one with a smile. That's it.
Well, Oliver, what's on your mind? How's the dividend situation?
Very pleasant. I think we'll show $2 million on the next quarter.
Ooh, that was a smart move of mine to sell my stock then, wasn't it? Well, anyway, you can thank me for some of those dividends of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you?
Oh, sure, sure.
That was a little too quick, Oliver. Enchanted Hour was a smash hit, wasn't it?
Made Esther a star overnight.
Yeah, and it should have. What about me?
Let's wait and talk business at the office, Norman.
Come on, let's have it. Didn't they like me?
Well, maybe the part wasn't right.
It was the best part of the year. Look, Oliver, do you think I'm slipping? Come on, give it to me.
Can you take it?
Go ahead.
The tense is wrong, Norman. You're not slipping. You've already slipped.
My fan mail's still big.
Norman, fans will write anybody for a photograph. It only costs 3 cents for the stamp. That makes photographs cheaper than wallpaper. But every quarter they pay for a theater ticket buys them the right to be a critic. Your last few performances, Norman, have not pleased your critics.
Remember, I told you I'd be ready for the curtains when the time came? Well, here it is. Let's call off the contract and no hard feelings.
Well, we're not quitting yet. I've got a swell script lined up for you, Norman.
About Esther. If you think I'm going to get in her way...
Well, as a matter of fact, as it happens, there isn't anything for her in this story. I more or less plan to star her in a picture of her own. Maybe with that young Pemberton opposite her. He's coming along very nicely.
Good for young Pemberton. All right, Oliver. We'll make a try at it. Let's hope it's not too late.
Let's hope it's not too late.
Pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. After a brief intermission, we'll hear Act Three of A Star is Born, starring Judy Garland and Walter Pidgeon. Now, when you try out a new thing, naturally, you want to find out everything you can about it. Here are some of the things women have been asking about the new rayon stockings. Perhaps our answers will help to settle some questions in your mind.
Aren't rayon stockings pretty much all alike?
No more than all silk stockings were alike. For one thing, high-twist rayons usually have more elasticity, so they fit and wear better.
How do rayons really wear?
Well, that depends partly on the weight you buy. The heavier weights will naturally wear longer, as they do in silk. And wear also depends on the care you give rayons. If you rub them with cake soap or use strong wash day soaps, you'll probably be disappointed. For those things weaken elasticity, and your stockings break easily into runs. So give rayon the same gentle care you give silk and nylon. Nightly Luxing. Rich, lukewarm Lux suds save elasticity. Cut down expensive runs.
Do rayons take longer to dry?
Yes, and thorough drying is important. Rayon is temporarily weak when it's wet, regains its strength only when it's dry all the way through. Your rayon stockings may feel dry before they really are, so it's safer to allow them from 24 to 48 hours drying time. To sum up, Lux Care means longer wear for rayons just as it does for silk and nylon. So stick to gentle Lux. Over 90% of the makers of stockings, makers of rayon, nylon, silk, cotton, and wool, advise Lux Flakes. Now, Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone.
You might like to know what New Year's resolutions our stars have made. I'll ask them about it right after the play. But now here's Act Three of A Star is Born, with Judy Garland and Walter Pidgeon. A year has gone by. A year during which Esther rose steadily to stardom, and Norman dropped just as steadily into oblivion. It's the night of the Academy Award dinner. At a table in the corner, Esther and Oliver Niles wait anxiously for Norman to arrive. The master of ceremonies is speaking.
We have already applauded with our hearts as well as our hands, while awards have been given to those gentlemen who during the past year...
I wish Norman would come. Do you think anything's happened to him?
Of course not. He's probably been held up in traffic, that's
all. Ladies,
you just think about that Oscar you're going to get.
We present to her the Academy Award for the finest performance of the year. The unforgettable Anna in Dream Without End, Miss Vicki Lester.
Go on, Esther.
Oh,
get
Oliver.
Your award.
Oliver, I wish Norman were here.
Right this way, Miss Lester. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What more can I say, Miss Lester? This statuette says it for all of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, when something like this happens to you and you try to tell how you feel about it, you find that out of all the words in the world, there are only two that really mean anything. Thank you. All I can do is to say them to you from my heart. All I can do is to tell you that I'll keep saying them just as long as I can.
Hey! Hey!
Norman.
Very
oh, Norman.
Pretty speech, my dear. I want to be the first to congratulate you on that valuable little piece of bric-a-brac. Now I want to make a speech. Gentlemen of the Academy and fellow suckers, I got one of those once for best performance. Once don't mean a thing. People get them every year. What I want is a special award.
Norman, please.
Something nobody else can get. I want a statuette for the worst performance of the year. I want three statues for the three worst performances of the year. I earned them, and everybody that saw those last two masterpieces of mine knows I earned them. What I'm here to find out is, do I get them or do I get them? Answer yes or no.
Music, quick.
Answer yes or no.
Norman.
All right, Esther, I've got him. Come on, Norman, come over to the table.
Norman.
Hello, Vicky, dear. Allow me to congratulate you. You must be terribly proud and happy tonight.
Norman, dear. Oh, Norman.
Esther, what have I done? Somebody give me a drink.
Who is it?
Oliver Niles calling.
Oh, Oliver, come in.
How are you, Esther?
Oh, Oliver, I've missed you. Everybody's missed you. Sit down. Did you have a nice trip?
Well, a 3 months tour over the theater circuit scarcely comes under the head of pleasure. But the way they're screaming for your pictures all across the country. Miss Lester, if I may talk shop, you are a knockout.
Thank you. That's good to hear, Oliver.
You've been crying, haven't you?
Yes, a little.
Why?
Oh, I guess maybe it's just nerves. I'm worried about this next picture, Oliver.
You needn't be. I just saw the first week's shooting. You're headed for another Academy Award this year.
Really? Oh, thanks. That's encouraging.
How's Norman?
Norman? Well, he's trying awfully hard, Oliver.
Has he been... Is he all right?
He's gone to a sanitarium.
Sanitarium?
Well, it was his own idea. You see, he really wants to stop drinking. And I think he could if...
I know. If he had a chance to work again. Well, maybe we can fix it.
Oh, Oliver, could you? Could you do that?
I think so.
Oh, thank you, Oliver. But he mustn't ever know I told you.
He won't know, Vicky. But you mustn't worry, do you hear? I want you to be good in this picture.
I'll try, Oliver. It's all I can do for you.
And one more for the books, folks. What star recently released from a sanitarium where he underwent a rest cure is now hanging around the Santa Anita racetrack while he gets into shape for a comeback? Your guess is as good as mine, and mine's no guess.
Hello, Charlie.
Well, hello, Mr. Mann. Haven't seen you in a long time.
No, I've been resting. Ginger ale, please.
Ginger ale and what?
Ginger ale and ginger ale.
Oh, new leaf, huh?
A whole new book, Charlie.
Check it up, Charlie. Scotch and soda. Well, well, a stranger in our midst.
Hello, Libby.
Mr. America of yesteryear. Say, do they let you run around now without a keeper?
Oh, I'm a trustee now. Good behavior, you know. But I didn't expect to find you at Santa Anita. What do they do with the actors when you're away?
Oh, they cut them in slices and fry them with eggs. I suppose you'll be here all the time now that you're retired from the hurly-burly of the silver screen.
Well, we're staying down at the beach house now, and it's, well, it's pretty lonesome with Esther away working all day.
I wouldn't squawk about that if I were you. It's nice somebody in the family's making a living.
Go a little slow, will you, Libby? I don't want to forget we're friends.
Friends, my eye. Listen, I got you out of your jams because it was my job. Not because I was your friend. I don't like you. I never did like you. Nothing made me happier than to see all those cute little pranks of yours catch up with you and land you on your celebrated puss.
Pretty work, Libby. Always wait till they're down, then kick them.
Why, you're not down, actor. You fixed yourself nice and comfortable. You can live off your wife now. She'll buy the drinks and put up with you even if nobody else will.
Why, you...
Take a swing at me, will you? Get up, you four-star ham, and I'll knock you down for keeps.
Oh, throw him out.
Get up there. Get up and get out of here. Don't bother to throw him out, Mike. He's just a harmless drunk.
Well, okay, Mr. Libby, if you say so.
Sure, let him go. What can he do? He can't fight any better than he can act.
Hey, hey, they're going to the pool.
Hey. Hey, man. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Give me a scotch. Double.
Vicky, please, please sit down. You're going to be sick carrying on like this. Why don't you try to get some sleep?
He's been gone for 4 days. 4 days and not a word. Oliver, how can I sleep? How can I do anything? Oliver, I can't answer it. I just can't. Will you please?
Hello? This is Oliver Niles speaking. What? Where? All right, thanks.
Oliver, what's happened? Where is he?
He's all right, Vicky. He isn't hurt. Well, they're holding him downtown in the night court. I'll go right down and get him out.
What is it? What has he done?
He's been arrested on a disorderly conduct charge.
I'm going with you, Oliver.
Esther, please, it isn't any place for you, and if it gets in the papers...
What do I care about the papers? Norman's in trouble. He needs me. I'm going to him.
Next case, Alfred Hendrickson, known as Norman Maine. Where is he?
Yeah.
Drunk and disorderly. Crashed car into tree. Resisted arrest and injured one of arresting officers. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Were you Norman Maine, the actor?
Yes.
You've come pretty low, haven't you? 90 days in the city jail.
Wait, please. Your Honor, I'm his wife.
Yes, I recognize you, Miss Lester.
Please, I promise you, Judge, this will never happen again. I'll be responsible for him if you'll just not send him there, please.
You realize that this man, when drunk, is obviously a menace to public safety?
Yes.
You realize, too, the responsibility you would be assuming to the court and to the Commonwealth?
I do.
Very well. Sentence suspended. Prisoner remanded to custody of his wife. You may take him home, Miss Lester.
Norman. Norman, are you all right, darling?
I'm so tired, Esther.
How is he, Esther?
Talk low. He's still asleep in there.
That's the best thing for him.
Oh, it's awful to see this happen to someone you love. And you know in your heart that it can't get any better.
Do you still love him, Esther, or do you feel sorry for him?
It's so hard to tell where one leaves off and the other begins. I only know that all I can do now is stay with him and try to help him.
So will I. Between us, we'll take care of him, won't we?
You're very fond of him, aren't you, Oliver?
I'm very fond of both of you.
I know. That's why I know you'll understand what I have to tell you. And I think that after what happened last night, you might know what it is. I can't do any more pictures, Oliver. I'm going away. For good. With Norman.
You can't do that. You're at the peak of your success. You've worked too hard to get there.
Yes, I've worked hard, Oliver. And what difference would it have made if you and Norman hadn't worked harder to get me there?
No one can help people to careers. You made your own career. It's your whole life, Esther.
Yes. That's what's been wrong. I've thought it all out. Maybe if I hadn't been away from him so much, things might have been different. What happened last night might never have happened at all. But it's too late to think of that now. But maybe it's not too late to go away with him and start over again somewhere.
It's your life you're giving up.
Yes. So I can try to give Norman back his. Can you honestly tell me I'm wrong?
No, I can't honestly tell you that.
There won't be any more Vicky Lester, Oliver.
Goodbye, Vicky Lester. You were a swell girl. And good luck, Mrs. Norman Maine.
Goodbye, Oliver. Thank you for everything.
Hello, darling.
Norman.
This is your husband coming in to apologize again, dear.
Norman, have you been out there long? Oliver Niles was here.
Yes, I know. I thought he would be. You're looking very sad, darling. What other troubles have you got?
None. I was just playing a little scene with myself.
Now, look. I'm just coming out of the jitters, and you're just going into them. This is a swell household.
Isn't it?
I tell you what we'll do. I'll promise to brace up if you'll go on the wagon.
Well, I guess I have been drinking too much.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be an athlete.
Gee. You mean with great big muscles and everything?
Roughly speaking, yes.
You're going to join the YMCA?
No. That costs too much. I'm going wading in the Pacific.
Now?
Sure.
Oh, well, you won't go out too far, darling, will you?
A little water once in a while wouldn't hurt me, anyway.
Crazy.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll be running along. Could you have a hot toddy? Some hot soup for me when I come back?
Some hot soup.
And I'll make the sandwiches.
Oh, Norma, do you have to?
Give me a kiss, darling.
All right. Don't be long.
I won't. Oh, darling.
Yes?
Do you mind if I take just one more look?
Norman.
So long, sweet.
Be all, Miss Lester.
Have you packed everything?
Yes, ma'am. The bags, the trunks, everything.
Then have the car brought around.
I'm very sorry, but you're not to come back.
Don't tell me I can't see her. I'm her grandmother.
Esther. Granny. Oh, Granny, darling, I'm so glad to see you. What made you come?
I know when I'm needed. Here, girl, get out, please. I want to talk to my granddaughter.
Yes, ma'am.
I got here as quickly as I could.
Oh, but I was going home. I sent you a wire yesterday.
Sit down. Is it true that you're going to quit the movies?
I never want to hear of them again.
What are you running away from, child?
I'm not running away. It's just that I can't go on. My heart isn't in it anymore.
Once I told you, if you get what you want, you might have to give your heart in exchange.
And I said I was willing. Well, I was. I've proved it. I've given my heart, Granny.
Yes, you made a bargain. And now you're whining over it. I wouldn't be very proud of myself if I were you.
I'm not. It's just that I got so much more than I bargained for, Granny. More success, more fame, more happiness, and so much more unhappiness. It's all come so quickly, Granny. I've lived a whole lifetime in a few short years. And when Norman died, something died in me, too. My life is over, Granny. There's no reason for it now. And I can't go on any longer. I just can't.
You've got to. Tragedy is the test of courage, Esther. I never knew Norman Maine. He was sweet to me in the letter he wrote when you were married. He said that you told him how much I meant to you. But I know how much you must have meant to him. And I can't believe that wherever he is, Esther, he's very proud, knowing that all that his love did for you was to make you a quitter.
The car's ready, Miss Lester. You'll have to go now to make the train.
Put the car back in the garage. We're going to stay.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great occasion. The entire picture industry has come to the Chinese Theater for this opening tonight to pay tribute to a great star, a girl who has won the heart of the world, Miss Vicki Lester. And now, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Lester's car has just driven up. Yes, there she is. I'll see if I can get her here to say a few words. Here she comes. No, wait, she's stopping, folks. I don't know what it's all about, but... What is it, Jim? Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lester has stopped at the footprints of her late husband, Norman Maine. She's a little upset. I don't think we're going to get her up here. No, wait. She's pulling herself together. She seems to be all right, ladies and gentlemen. She's approaching the microphone now. Miss Lester, will you... Miss Lester, we're on a national hookup here. Your fans are hoping you'll say a few words to them. Will you, please?
Of course. Hello, everybody. This is... Mrs. Norman Maine.
Before our stars return for their curtain call, here's an interesting thing I read about Hollywood the other day. More than 1,000 ways of saving vital materials are being used in movie making today. Yes, conservation, saving things so they'll serve longer, is important now. One thing that's playing a big part in saving precious fabrics for Hollywood studios is Lux Flakes. Leading motion picture studios use gentle Lux for all their washable costumes, so they'll stay fresh and unfaded longer and keep their true colors before the camera. Now, you can well believe that in times like these, the studios choose the care they know is really safe. Women know, too, from their actual experience, that Lux Flakes are wonderfully gentle, safe for everything safe in plain water. With gentle Lux care, there's no cake soap rubbing, no harmful alkali to injure fabrics or colors. So your dresses, blouses, sweaters, the children's clothes, your nice household linens will last longer, wear better when you Lux them. In your conservation program for 1943, make this your motto. Don't trust to luck, trust to Lux. Now, here's Mr. DeMille and our stars.
If ever a performance deserved a curtain call, it's A Star Is Born. And here are the two stars responsible, Judy Garland and Walter Pigeon. Made any New Year resolutions yet, Judy?
Sure. More bonds, less butter.
Can't go wrong on that. What's yours, Walter?
Well, for one thing, I'm cutting down on conversation. And I'm going to try to get other people to do the same thing. Of course, that may get me into trouble.
I suppose you mean conversation about the war, Walter.
Yes, it's all summed up in one slogan, Judy. Careless talk costs lives. Or if you like it even shorter, zip your lip.
On little bits of military information. Yes, that's the way modern espionage works. It's like a gigantic news-gathering agency piecing together hundreds of seemingly unrelated facts.
No more beautiful blonde spies?
Well, I haven't seen one recently, Judy, even in pictures.
Well, how do you figure not talking is going to get you in trouble, Walter?
Well, from now on, Judy, when somebody says to me, my brother is sailing tonight, they just gave him a tropical sun helmet, I'm going to suggest that it's dangerous talk and might sink that brother's ship if heard by the wrong people. I may be sticking my neck out, but it's for a good cause.
If everybody joins that crusade, Walter, the enemy agents will starve to death. Good luck with it.
I have one question, CB. No military information involved. What's your play next week?
Well, it's quite military, Walter, because next week our play is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer hit The Bugle Sounds.
Ah.
And our stars will be Wallace Beery and Marjorie Rambo. The Bugle Sounds is a story of a rugged old cavalry sergeant whose regiment is being mechanized. But mechanizing Wallace Beery is a man-sized job for any army. So don't miss this drama of adventure in tanks and jeeps next Monday night.
Well, with two swell players like Wally Beery and Marjorie Rambo, you're sure to have a great show, Mr. DeMille. Good night.
Good night, CB.
Good night. Good night. Star Is Born with a blessed event for us. This coming week, we turn the page on a new year. 1943 holds nothing but promise. The promise of a clean page. The record that will be written there, 1 year from today, will be what we make it. We will have only ourselves to praise or blame. The man on the fighting front, the man and the girl in the machine gun factory, the farmer in his wheat field, all have a personal part in making the history of this year. And when the day of victory comes, as it must, they can all say, this day is mine. And a free radio, a free press, and a free screen will join free men and women everywhere in hailing not just a new year, but a new era and a bright new world. Now, for old time's sake and for new time's sake, our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes and Lux Toilet Soap, send their wishes of good fortune and a safe return home to the hundreds of their employees, both men and women, who are now in the armed services, and to all men and women in our country's service, wherever they may be. And our sponsors send their heartiest good wishes to each and every one of you. All here in the Lux Radio Theater, join me in echoing these hopes for a joyful and victorious new year. And we invite you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Wallace Beery and Marjorie Rambo in The Bugle Sounds. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Heard in tonight's play were Leo Cleary as Oliver Niles, Charles Seal as Libby, Verna Felton as Granny, Arthur Q. Bryan as Moon, and Francis Robinson, Fred Mackay, Jane Morgan, Eddie Marr, Norman Field, Bruce Payne, Crayon Denton, Arthur Gilmore, Griff Barnett, and Jane Bierce. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. And this is your announcer, John M. Kennedy, reminding you to tune in next Monday night to hear Wallace Beery and Marjorie Rambeau in The Bugle Sounds.
Free. Yes, absolutely free. A sample of Vims, the new low-cost vitamin mineral tablets. Ladies, if you haven't tried yet, Vims, now's the time. Just send your name and address to this station. You'll soon receive a free sample of Vims. Remember, write to this station. Ask for your free Vims today. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.